We're also joined by Rodin Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Council President Luisa Ponte, we know the city of Providence desperately needs more tax revenue. So why has the city council not yet approved a hotel proposal for the Fogarty building on Fountain Street that would raise annual revenue by millions of dollars?
We're considering it. And the other part of that transaction is that it would forgive millions of dollars for the development of a brand new hotel right across the street from the convention center. So the generosity of the city's abatement that the developers are seeking is what's in question.
Is opposition from the hotel workers union the main reason why the council hasn't acted more quickly on this?
No, I think there are concerns, and clearly we heard the folks at Unite here. But like I said, this is a development where you're knocking down an old building, building a brand new hotel across the street from a publicly subsidized convention center, and seeking 12 years and a significant number of dollars abated in taxes. It's something that the council is doing our due diligence on.
And just to close this out before we go to Scott, when do you expect the council will possibly vote on this?
My sense is soon, probably before the end of the year, likely before the end of the year.
Let's go to Scott.
What do you think is a reasonable incentive, money on the table, land, to try to keep the Pawsox in Providence, move them to Providence, and keep them in Rhode Island? What's a reasonable monetary figure? We know the city is not cash rich right now.
I'm not sure that it's a number. It has to be a set of conditions that benefit the city. If you resign yourself to the fact that there needs to be some subsidy, the question is where the subsidy comes from and how big a subsidy. What helps us underwrite that subsidy is if we treat it as a larger development where there are other property, other buildings, other investments that come on the tax roll to help with the subsidy.
If it serves as a catalyst, in other words.
And that's what we need to do. And I think that the Victory Place site provides those opportunities for additional development.
What's your explanation for why we have not seen any private development yet on the former I-195 land in Providence?
General Schwarzkopf said that happens at pay grades much higher than mine. I could not tell you. I can tell you that my colleagues and I in the administration worked hard to develop what we thought was an ordinance that provided generous benefits, 15 and 20 year tax stabilizations to address the issues that we often heard were significant obstacles, the one of property taxes. I know that the governor as well has put a lot of effort and resources on the table. I'm not sure why it hasn't happened.
That was seen as a step forward when the city council this year created a new approach for tax stabilization agreements. What has the reaction been? Has that elicited the reaction that you hope for?
We're hoping that it will. We have not heard of any additional commitments yet. We understand there's several projects hovering, but no proposals have been put forward as of yet.
The city never seems to get from under the shadow of the underfunded city pension system. I'm wondering, do you think that the yield assumptions are realistic? And what can the city do to try to shore that pension system up?
There are a couple of things that we can do immediately and long term. What was done in the prior administration with the leadership of Mayor Tavares and the city council to recast the pension benefits to try and ensure that our assets were not being gone through at a rate that we could not support. So the reduction or at least the suspension of the COLAs was a big step. The next step, the fact that we are funding our pension obligation, our ARC, our annual pension contribution at a minimum of 95%. This year, we will again make a 100% contribution to that, begins to address that problem. So it's not a problem that got here in the last couple of years. It's not one that will be resolved in the next couple of years.
To follow up on Scott's question, Councilman David Salvatore introduced a proposal in July to eliminate the so-called elected officials pension, an extra pension that some municipal employees can get if they serve in elective positions. Why is the council not yet had any public discussion on that?
Well, I'm not sure that's the right one. What I think the councilman introduced was an ordinance, an amendment to the retirement ordinance that would not allow council people to count their years of service as an elected official towards a city pension. When that was introduced was in July before our recess in August. And we've had a few other things on the plate. The councilman has not, as far as I know, reached out to the chairman seeking some a hearing or some consideration on that ordinance.
We're talking here with City Council President Luisa Ponte of Providence. Now back to Scott.
Well, isn't this council kind of dodge an old thing? It seems like over the years, many, many Tommy Glavin, Tom O'Connor, Nick Easton, you can go way back, the number of people who went from the council. Carolyn Brazel, very good public servant. But nonetheless, a lot of these people seem to end up on the city payroll. with very generous pensions.
Well, I mean, if you were to count the number, and I'm not going to advocate for or against it here, but if you count the number of council people who've gone on to public service in a capacity as an employee compared to the number of retirees or people, it's a small amount. Mm-hmm. We don't understand what that really is. I understand the optics of it. I understand, you know, folks will have a problem with it and assume that it's a sweetheart deal. But there is another side to that, and that's what we need to consider.
You've worked with a number of mayors during your time on the council, and Providence Mayor Jorge Lorza is most of the way through his first year in office. So I wonder, what kind of letter grade would you give Mayor Lorza for his performance?
Oh, a solid B+. I think he's really trying hard. I think he's taken over a city with some significant challenges. He's trying to bring a balance of young energy and creativity and bring that to bear against some daunting and difficult structural problems.
What are the areas in which he needs to improve?
I would say the way that he communicates his vision for the city. I think one of the things that our city needs is a cheerleader. And I think he needs to understand that that is as important as keeping taxes low and keeping services moving.
Last time we had you on, we had the privilege of having you here, our council president. You said that you were between jobs and looking for employment. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to put food on your table and pay your rent now?
I'm working for a small nonprofit. It's located in Blackstone Valley. It's called Fuerza Laboral, labor force, and doing some interesting work around worker opportunities, including cooperatives.
I wonder, given the red ink in Providence's budget, is it responsible for the city council to back a tax benefit for non-owner occupied buildings in Providence?
Absolutely. I think that when we look at our city, the demographics of our city is largely a renter community. You know, the folks next door at Kids Count and all the other important nonprofit groups that look at economics will tell you Providence is an expensive city to live in. And when you think of renters and what gets paid for taxes as a percentage of rent, it's extremely high. It's high for our region. The second part is that it's part of the reason we have so many foreclosed and vacant properties languishing in our neighborhoods is that when an investor looks at it and looks what it will take to bring it back online and what the tax burden will be, they choose to go elsewhere. They go across the border to Cranston, to North Providence, and make their investments there. So I think, yes, it's absolutely legitimate. It is the highest dichotomy in the region, 75% higher than what owner occupiers pay. That is higher than what exists in Boston, in Hartford, and in Worcester. So I think it is absolutely legitimate to look at that the same way that it's been legitimate to freeze the commercial tax rate for the last 3 years, because we understand it's extremely high. It's amongst the highest in the nation and amongst the highest in the country.
Well, you say you don't rule out a tax increase. Then where, if there has to be a tax increase, should it be levied?
Well, I think it needs to be a tax increase that is across the board. But like I said, I'm hopeful that as we go through our revaluation process, we will have seen values increase, and that will lessen the need for a tax rate increase.
There was a $2.4 million redesign of Kennedy Plaza within recent years. It seems like things have just been moved around. Do you really see any public benefits that have occurred as a result of that?
I think that the investment will pay off in the quality of experience downtown. I still think we need to address the transit in our city, how we get people in and around and out of our city. I'm sure that if we're able to move forward with the expansion of the transit hubs, then we will see that investment in a much clearer light.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Bonus Q&A. Scott.
Great to be here.
And Providence City Council President Luisa Ponte.
Thank you again.